Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. As we study the Bible, we are concerned with understanding the words of the Bible, and every word that we read is made up of letters in whatever language we may be reading. Whether it is the printed word or a word in a game, a different single letter makes a difference. And in some languages, sometimes the letters may be the same, and the pronunciation is what sets apart words. I recently played a word game and had to determine four of the five letters on the word G-R-A with a blank followed by an E. When I considered letters already used and letters remaining, I determined the word would either be grace or grave. And when it comes to our faith, the difference in the C or V makes a huge difference. As Christians, when given a choice between grace or the grave, we want grace because the grave has been with mankind since the very beginning. At the earliest periods of God's time with mankind, grace was a novel concept and not something routinely held. When God spoke with Moses to give direction to Aaron and his sons, they were to pronounce a blessing on the people of Israel using very specific words and phrases. And we have this given to us in the book of Numbers. Let's read Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. It was a blessing then and remains a blessing to this day to have grace extended to us by God. And throughout the history of this planet, God has extended grace to us, even though mankind overall is evil. Without grace, God knows we are limited to only our physical existence. And with God, for whom a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, people will live no longer than 120 years. Every once in a great while, somebody lives a few years longer than this, and most people die much younger. So if 1,000 years is as a day to God, the lifespan of a person is to God but a few hours. If we think about it, each of us probably can survive an unpleasant person if we only needed to spend a few hours with them. And with God, this is God's perspective. Genesis 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth on those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. The people on earth began to become wiser as they understood the world around them, and at the same time, people began to become evil, focusing their thoughts not on righteousness, but on evil. God saw this pattern repeating and repeating almost as if it was a cancer. And evil was so pronounced that God came to the point where God repented from having made man. Today, we call that buyer's remorse. People were no longer a constant source of joy for God, and instead became a source of heartache as evil grew and grew and grew. But Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of God. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you're listening to the sermon, perhaps when you look around the world we live in, you also see evil. Not the type of evil that is here a little and there a little, but widespread evil that fills every nook and cranny and becomes part of the fabric of society. Like Noah, are we finding favor in the eyes of God today? Or do we reflect the status quo of the society we live in? In his letter to the Romans, Paul tells us how we should be thinking about this. Speaking as a man to a man from the perspective of a man, Paul tells us that being under grace is not a license to sin. Because as we are obedient to sin, this leads us to our death. And as we are obedient to grace, this leads us to eternal life. Paul wrote these words knowing that the lives we live are grounded in the flesh as we have faith in Jesus Christ. Paul is explaining that even though we have faith in Jesus Christ, that does not totally remove us from the influence our body can have over us. He advises the Romans that instead of becoming servants of sin, that they should become servants of righteousness. That instead of yielding control of our bodies to unrighteousness, we yield control of our body to righteousness, knowing that all things that are unrighteous leads to death, and knowing that through Jesus Christ we have this hope of eternal life, knowing this comes through grace, and also knowing that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We read the example of Noah from the book of Genesis, who found grace in the eyes of God, and we have just read Paul's writings to the Romans and know that through grace we have this gift of eternal life. We can look forward through the pages of the Bible to the time when there is a new heaven and a new earth, a vision of a time for which we have faith. As we read the words, we see this vision in our mind and see a time of incredible happiness where there is no death, sorrow, crying, or any type of pain, because by this time, all things are new and the former things are no more. Those who overcome will inherit all things, and the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will face the grave instead of grace. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall no more be death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Instead of being like these people identified in Revelation 21 verse 8, we need to be people of faith, knowing that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was resurrected, just as was recorded in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Eventually, Jesus even was seen by Paul, who had initially persecuted the church. It was through grace that Paul became who he was. If it is through grace Paul became who he was, then it is through grace we are who we have become. Just like Paul worked very hard to show himself worthy of this favor he had been shown, we must work hard to show ourselves to be worthy of the favor we have been shown. Verse 8. Last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God. I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Paul then asks a question that should give each of us a pause for self-reflection. Even though we believe that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, there were some during Paul's time who still did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, not quite comprehending that if there was no resurrection of the dead, there could be no Jesus Christ who is resurrected, making their faith useless to the point of being liars. Verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If Jesus Christ wasn't resurrected, then all we believe would be based in a lie, and our only hope would be eternal death, making us the most miserable of people, believing something that would never come about. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We don't live that miserable life because we live a life of faith, knowing that Jesus Christ is resurrected, and knowing his resurrection gives us grace, knowing we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It is by this grace and forgiveness of sins that God redeems us through Jesus Christ. And that redemption comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, not us. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Because there is nothing we can do to cause this grace to be given to us, there is also no need for any of us to have any pride in what we have been given. Each of us was given a calling. We didn't do anything to earn that calling. And that calling, coupled with faith, is what pivoted us towards grace. And with all of that, there is nothing we did There was no contractual obligation that God had to fulfill based on our actions to give us eternal life. Grace comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ because we are fallible people. And this comes through faith. It is this faith, this belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that provides for the forgiveness of sins, that we are justified or adjudicated to be not guilty of sin in the eyes of God, without any requirement to fulfill the ceremonial requirements as provided during the time of the temple. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It is faith that allows God to be the God of not only Jews, but of Gentiles, knowing that faith establishes the law. Verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. To the Corinthians, Paul recounted his physical challenges were given to him to be a thorn in the flesh, a reminder of the only promise that Satan can deliver, death. With Paul's thorn in the flesh, he was kept humble, knowing that it would be the grace of Jesus and not anything that Paul would do that would result in eternal life for Paul. Whatever physical challenges we have, together with other hardships we may endure, should serve as a reminder to us of the grace of Jesus Christ, knowing that through Jesus, when we are physically weak, we are spiritually strong. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When we are given eternal life, it is a gift we receive, not by anything we have done, but through grace, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we are given this gift, not as a result of anything we have done. There is no need for any of us to be boastful. Instead of boasting, we should be grateful, knowing that we are being made in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ for good works, so that we can walk in these good works. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As we live a life walking in good works, we are reminded that because we are under grace, we are not to permit unbridled sin to have control of our bodies. Instead, we are to yield ourselves to God and yield ourselves to God's righteousness. Romans 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. As we live in a world where the headlines are dominated by sin, we should be able to conclude that all who claim to be Christian are probably not Christian, else we wouldn't be seeing so many headlines dominated by sin. With the evil we see in the world around us, how should we feel? If we feel isolated, we should remember that during the time of the prophets, even God had reserved for himself 7,000 men who had not worshipped Baal. Even though we at times may not see others of similar faith near us, we should never discount that there aren't others of faith. God knows who are his. Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. And what saith the answer of God unto him? I reserve to myself 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. when Paul wrote to the Romans, they felt isolated and had to be reminded there was a remnant according to the election of grace. Today, there remains a remnant according to the election of grace. God's people rely on forgiveness that comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and not anything they themselves may do. Those who do not understand the grace by which we are saved are blinded. Much like Adam and Eve were kept from the tree of life after partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 5. Even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. David, a man after God's own heart, understood the snare and trap that was laid for those who do not believe. When Israel did not believe, it gave room for God to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And in our time, when some fall from the truth, others are brought to the truth. Verse 9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. Throughout millennia, Christians have been able to come boldly to the throne of grace, the throne that Jesus sits upon, knowing that Jesus is our high priest who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. We can come boldly to the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy when we are in need of mercy. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When the Word, who was God and who was with God at the very beginning, became flesh and dwelt among us, it created a pathway for grace, forgiveness of sin upon his death and resurrection. The law given by God may have come through Moses and grace. Forgiveness of sin came through Jesus Christ so that there could be a remnant according to the election of grace. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. To the Colossians, Paul wrote that we should be thankful in all things as we continue in prayer, that God would expand his ministry on earth. For those who are called, we are to walk with wisdom, knowing we have but a little time, using words of grace, using words reflecting the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that provides for the forgiveness of sins, so that we can be useful to the people whom we encounter. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. In Hebrews, we are given many concluding directives, including the let brotherly love continue. Carefully wedged in these concluding directives is an admonishment that we do not allow ourselves to be tossed around with diverse and strange doctrines, but to have our hearts established in grace. Instead of focusing on this new truth or that new truth or this bit of speculation or that bit of speculation, we are to remain grounded in the faith that Jesus died and was resurrected so that our sins could be paid for. We are to remain focused on grace. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. As we live our life with faith as the guidepost of our lives, we are to live our lives being good stewards of the grace of God. We are to carefully possess this grace and keep this grace in a very special place in our lives, never giving this grace up for something cheap. What we do and what we say must reflect the wisdom of God, and everything we do within the faith must be done so that the glory goes to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Titus was reminded by Paul that we are justified by grace and made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, explaining that it is not works of righteousness that we are to do anyway that brings this result for us. Even though we are justified by grace, we are to maintain good works and avoid side issues which only bring about confusion and debate. And it is the people who strive over the law and questionable matters that are called the heretics, who should be ignored if they continue on their path. Titus 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things will I that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions, genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Finally, as we are a remnant according to the election of grace, the forgiveness of sin that comes through the death the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is something that is not stagnant in our life. Grace is something that grows in our life. You see, if all we are doing is growing knowledge and grace remains unchanged, we need to remember we are expected to grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ, truth and grace were introduced into this world, providing a pathway to eternal life. Just like during the time of the prophets, God reserved 7,000 who only worshiped God, God still reserves for himself Christians who only worship God and Jesus Christ. We are called to be part of that remnant according to the election of grace. And we are called to grow not only in knowledge, we are called to grow in grace. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.